Welcome to the Eye Candy Duo podcast with me, Naomi Williams, a 30-something parent of none, baffled by how much is undiscussed in the world of pregnancy and parenthood. I'll be asking the questions you want the answers to on this podcast, which is brought to you by Eye Candy World, makers of beautifully British pushchairs for parents across the globe. We're delighted to be joined on the Eye Candy Duo podcast by Doug and Sanjay, aka the Travelling Gays. Whilst the couple are used to documenting their travels around the world, they are now sharing a different kind of journey, their surrogacy journey to becoming dads. We gave our followers on social the opportunity to put forward questions for Doug and Sanjay, and in this week's episode, they are taking your questions on. So I hope that makes you suitably anxious and nervous, guys.
Absolutely. Anxious, a bit nervous, but excited.
Oh, absolutely. And they're not that bad. Sorry, I did make that sound very ominous, didn't I? It's just like, yes.
I know. Yourself, what are they going to ask?
Yeah, we're going to get right under the skin on stuff. But, but look, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast today. It's such a pleasure to have you both. And, you know, this is Pride Month, so it's a fantastic time to be really talking about you both and your amazing Travelling Gays channel, and also about your surrogacy, you know, your surrogacy journey that you guys are taking on. You know, for anyone who isn't maybe totally aware of your Instagram or YouTube channel, just quickly just sort of explain to the guys that are listening, like, all about you and, you know, where you are on your surrogacy journey at the moment.
Sure. So we've been together how long now?
12 years.
I've been in Manchester Pride.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah. So Pride Month's quite a special special time for us because it's when we met. We got married almost 2 years ago. So it seems like forever ago because of the pandemic and everything just seems
it's
like
been that bad.
And also because Doug's a flight attendant and he
I've been on furlough. Sanjay's had to endure me the whole time.
Yeah, so when we got married we weren't Doug would be away half the week and then we got married and then suddenly he was at home all the time. I was like, this isn't what we agreed to.
Let me review that contract again, like one sec.
Yeah. I think I have heard him say that.
We got married a couple of years ago and then decided we wanted to, we talked about having a family for a long time, and so we'd been talking about it quite a lot, and then
we did our honeymoon, didn't we, at the start of 2020, obviously the very beginning of 2020 right then. That was when we decided, right, we're gonna go forward with it and start. So when we got back, it was COVID was teetering around and we weren't sure whether to start or not, because obviously me being a flight attendant, we were like, it would be really easy for us to get in and out of the States, etc. Little did we know. So we did start, and now we are delighted to say, as of last week, we just had our 20-week scan. So
yeah, that's amazing. Thrilled. And we're just really happy that we thought oh, you know, should we just wait until this pandemic kind of dies down a bit? You know, back in February last year, when we thought it was going to be quite a short little thing that happened, and we're just really pleased that we kind of moved forward with it rather than waiting, because wouldn't be as far along as we are.
Oh, I completely understand that. I remember when we left the office last March, it was almost like, okay, guys, see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And
nearly 18 months down the line, we're still at home. But no, I mean, it's fantastic that actually, like you say, I mean, outside of the, you know, Doug now being around all the time, which has, you know, I'm sure.
So things are work now, he's okay.
But it's, it's fantastic that actually you've both been able to be together and actually really concentrate on, like, moving this journey forward and not taking the pandemic as a setback, you know, is taking it as an opportunity to really move things forward. And you guys, you know, decided to move forward with having a surrogate. And you know, for some of our listeners that might not be aware, but your surrogate Amber is, you're actually got quite a lovely kind of close relationship with her. And then you're planning on staying with her for sort of 2 weeks before the baby's due date. Which I know you guys kind of go and touch on in the blog post that you guys recently kind of guest blogged for us. One question that came through was, what kind of relationship will your baby have with Amber after the baby's born?
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. Our relationship with Amber's super important to us. And I think one of the things that you don't maybe expect when you go into starting this journey is having how close that bond will be with someone actually who we met over Zoom effectively and built a relationship from there. But kind of who has become a really important person in our lives because she, you know, she's just doing the most incredible, amazing thing for us, and she's just so wonderful. And we chat to her every single week on a Sunday for kind of at least an hour, and sometimes it runs into 2 hours, 3 hours, just to catch up and see how each other are and what each other have been up to and all those things. And I think what's really important to us, and this is with both our Amber and also the person who's donated her eggs to us as well, because they're two different people, is that actually, you know, it's going to be no secret to this child that we have to have some help in bringing them into the world. And so, you know, we think it's important that actually they do know who these people are, and that, you know, that we're open about the journey we've gone on from the offset, and there's no kind of secrets in that way. And that, you know, so that if they want to meet them or speak to them and kind of chat to them, and I'm no doubt we'll go and stay with Amber kind of when the baby's born. And, you know, I'm sure that her and her family will come to London so that they can know where they came from. And obviously it won't be a parental relationship, but still like a relationship, so that, you know, they have that opportunity to engage and be, you know, be around the person that helping them into the world.
And I mean, a lot of questions that we do tend to get surrounding surrogacy is obviously, I mean, the UK and the US have quite sort of different systems about how it works and things like that. I mean, namely, why did you decide on surrogacy, and like, how did that decision process of, you know, working with a surrogate in the US, how did that come about?
I think we'd always just spoke about our personal vision of the family we wanted and how we were going to go about that journey. And I think for us personally, it just worked. Surrogacy seemed the best option for what we were trying to achieve with our vision of a family. So when we looked into it, I mean, there's a lot of couples that I've seen and followed on Instagram. So I could see that, you know, it was there and people could do it, but in the UK, it's just not as,
It's not as accessible
in the UK, and it's more. There is ways of doing it in the UK, but it was just very. We found the process in the States was better for us. It just worked.
Yeah, I think in the UK as well. Like I've seen lots of couples who are in the UK and have had really fantastic experiences with surrogacy and have built their families that way. I think one of the key things is it can take quite a lot longer because there's just not the framework in the UK in the same way that there is in the States, which means that there's not potentially as many surrogates and it takes a lot longer to match with someone. And that process is lengthier. And then I think the other key thing is around the legal side of things, where in the States that baby is recognized as our baby when it's born. Whereas in the UK, it does take a period of time up to about 6 months before that happens. And even when the way that we're doing it in the US, we still have to then get a parental order in the UK after the baby's born. So you're in this kind of funny limbo period where the baby's recognized and you're on the birth certificate in the US, but actually in the UK, you still have to apply for that. But we just felt, in terms of the framework and everything that was around
it. And also we had staff, maybe the flight attendant getting in and out of the States was really easy for us.
So, pre-pandemic.
So that was another reason, you know, for us, it was that, you know, obviously not everyone would be able to fly so easily as we could have done prior, but that just made it easier as well for us. So, I mean, I was fortunate enough to actually go on the day of the transfer to meet Amber in person, obviously socially distanced, but just to be able to say hello to her and thank her for everything she'd done physically in person was, yeah, such an amazing moment for me, because sadly Sanjay couldn't come, so I worked to go out there, but it was great.
Yeah, I mean, you're very fortunate, like you say, with your job, once it gets back to normal, that you have that kind of that travel accessibility. I mean, I know there was a number of questions, actually, and I think you guys sort of touched on it a little bit, but you know, a lot of people asking, like, how have you worked out through all of the legal side and also the financial side of, you know, either option? Because you, like you mentioned, Sanjay, about the legal side in the UK being you know, you having that potentially that kind of bit of limbo before you're put on the, you know, on the necessary paperwork for the, you know, for your child to be, you know, legally recognised. I mean, is there any kind of pointers just out of those two areas, so the legal and the financial side, that you could potentially maybe even give a little bit of advice on for anyone that's listening?
I think I think one of the handy things in the US is that when we did it through the US was that they kind of, you go through an agency and the agency kind of have attorneys who work with you on the legal side of things. But also we've spoken to a couple of solicitors within the UK who have been able to advise us on what that process is. And actually a lot of people get representation from solicitors. A lot of people kind of represent themselves in doing that, that parental order side of things. And I think the biggest thing is just make sure that you do your research and get lots of advice from various different people. I think that, you know, there's resources online. I think there's a charity called Brilliant Beginnings in the UK who do a lot with surrogacy within the UK. And just basically speak to as many people as possible to try and understand the process, because actually it can seem quite daunting and scary. But there's lots of people who are really expert on this. And actually, there are different options to make sure that the legal side of things doesn't cost the world. But because ultimately, you know, whether this is in the UK or the US, like it's not the cheapest process to go through. And so kind of identifying ways where you can save money as much as possible is good. So like with anything, you kind of do your best to shop around to see what the different options are.
Fantastic. And I think like you mentioned there about the charity, we'll add anything like that actually into our show notes as well, just as a little point and guide for anyone listening. So no, thank you for that recommendation. You're also planning on spending 6 weeks in America when the baby's kind of born. What was the why did you decide to kind of make sure that you were in the country for that period of time? Is that out of kind of your own preference, or was that again sort of more of a legal kind of complication that you would have to stay in the country for that length of time?
Yeah, so when the baby's born, it will need to be registered, and then we'll actually be a US citizen because of where it's born. So we'll have to wait to get the baby registered, which takes about 3 weeks, and then we'll be applying for the passport so we can bring it home. So we're just sort of baselining around 6 weeks. It might be less, it might be more, but we're going to just really use that time to, we're going to have some time, just the two of us, I guess, staring at our beautiful baby, just thinking, oh no, we've got to do this now. But I'm sure we're so excited to do that. But then we're going to let our, hopefully, as long as we're allowed, have our mums fly out and give their 5 pence.
that'll be an interesting one. Two very different grandparenting styles, I think. But it'll be a big combination as well of being able to go a couple of weeks before, because obviously, you know, babies aren't always on time and sometimes they're early. So we want to make sure that we're there well in advance. I think also just to spend some time with Amber and her family. We're going, hopefully, we've got earmarked a week off in August to try and get out there. If the borders open back up,
We should be there right now.
Yeah, we should be there right now. We have this week off and the plans go now, but obviously the borders aren't open. So, it's a combination of like, we really want to spend time with Amber and her family.
And afterwards as well. We won't stay with Amber then. I think she might need a break from us by then. But we're going to definitely be in the same area as where Amber is. So she can come and drop by, we can drop by hers, and then we've got time after the baby's born for her to meet the baby, see him as well. So.
Yeah, and it's just a couple of weeks for the birth certificate, but then we have to wait for the passport, which can take a few weeks as well. So, you know, we want to spend a reasonable amount of time there, but also, you know, the baby's due October 28th, so we're hoping we'll be back for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thought of maybe bringing that baby back on a plane is probably quite a thought as well.
Hoping, without flying, just me doing that job, I'm just hoping, I've seen it happen a lot. So I'm like, actually, the thought of having to do it myself does terrify me slightly. I'm sure we'll be okay. I'm sure we'll get some stares from other passengers as we're strutting down with our baby, they'll be like, oh no, please don't sit near us. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
I mean, you're known for kind of your adventures across the globe. And I mean, that's, you've got such a beautiful like Instagram channel that talks about, you know, all the kind of past travel that you guys have experienced together. I mean, do you plan, obviously you've got that big journey home, which will be, it's, you know, it's very different, but do you plan on traveling with your baby?
Yeah, I think we'll, the first few months will be like any new parent, I'd imagine, just trying to work out like what to do and kind of how to
take this all naturally. So we're really relying on that.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think definitely, you know, I'm sure, I was very lucky in that my mum loved travel, and growing up, she used to kind of try and take me to as many different places. And I think it's really good cultural experience. I think particularly I'm half Indian, and so that's a really important part of kind of my heritage that is, I feel like it's important to be connected to, and we want our babies to kind of experience and see different cultures and different type of people and different places, so that I guess they can have as rounded as an experience as possible.
And I mean, you know, especially with babies, I think you've got a good couple of years before having to get them back on a plane, because they won't remember. Yeah. They just won't remember. I always think that. It's like, why are you traveling with like a 6-month-old baby? Yeah. You know, they just won't appreciate it. The selfish little things. No. Yeah. But I mean, how are you guys also? I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, obviously, Doug, you're very fortunate. You know, being an air steward, you're able to kind of go traveling, you know, back and forth and incorporating this journey with your own sort of day-to-day kind of job. But I mean, how are you both going to be sort of navigating paternity leave once you come back to the UK?
So we're both, Doug's going to take kind of all year maternity. And then my work has got a really good paternity package. So I'm actually going to get quite a few months off as well. And so we'll have some time together. And then when afterwards, I think the plan is...
we have just moved house almost directly next to him. Directly next to one granny. We're like, hi, we're moving to this area. Granny assistance, yeah, as well. And then I will go back to work. I do really love my job. But hopefully a part-time contract, so...
So that'll hopefully with a bit of a help from granny daycare and with that we'll be able to manage. But it's all these things that you have to start planning for and thinking about that I guess never really occurred to us, and particularly, you know, neither of us ever thought that this was a thing that we would even have to think about until, you know, a few years ago, and certainly growing up never thought that I would have family in this way. So it's kind of the nice challenges to have.
I mean, actually a real common question actually that came through on our Instagram story Q&A was, how have your family and friends been during this whole process, and have they been supportive?
Yeah, they've been amazing. I mean, just the way our journey is and how it is, there was no secret what was going on, because obviously we've had to get to the stage, which was a big dilemma back during the pandemic. So there was none of this sort of surprise. I'm 12 weeks pregnant. So it's, you know, they've really been on the journey with us. So it's been really lovely. And then, you know, just some of the questions like my nieces and nephews have asked, you know, it's just so innocent and sweet. Like, but they totally just, actually, to be fair, the children are better than the adults. they just sort of accept what you're telling them. And they're like, oh, great. I'm excited to meet my new cousin. Whereas, you know, I think everyone has questions. We didn't know everything about how this would happen in the journey when we started. So it's just about learning and teaching and educating everyone along the way as well, because we're learning too. So
yeah, 100%. I think it's, you know, like, we couldn't have asked for a more supportive set of family and friends. They really have been absolutely amazing. It's been a real opportunity, as Doug said, to educate. And I know Amber's been doing this on her Facebook as well, and talking about the journey and the experience, because there's a lot of things that people maybe don't necessarily understand about the process, because why would they? They don't, you know, it's not something to learn about. I think a common misconception, for example, is that the egg donor and the surrogate are the same person, and actually, you know, in our arrangement anyway, there's all these technical terms like gestational carrier, which is the technical term for someone carrying a baby they're not genetically related to, but they just all sound quite clinical. So I try, you know, and I don't think really do justice the kind of to the relationships that we have and how amazing Amber is. But it's really good to have that opportunity to help broaden people's horizons as well, who maybe might not have encountered it. So yeah, it's been amazing.
I mean, yeah, gestation carrier. Imagine that as gestation being your intro. Yeah. And you meet it. Yeah, that's me. I'm gestation carrier. With Amber, obviously you guys have built up a really lovely kind of close relationship with her, you know, where it's very much, you know, like you say, you want there to be that kind of continuation of Amber in potentially the baby's life, if they both so wished, you know, to choose to go that way as they grow up. But I mean, has your family or friends spoken to Amber?
We have, actually, yeah, because we Skype so frequently. Obviously, this first half of the year, we've not had, you know, we've not been with anyone else. We've just been together. But as we start to open up, Sanjay's mum's been in our bubble because we basically moved next door to her. So, we've been chatting with her. Like, Amber's been on the on Skype as well. So she's got to meet Sanjay's mum over Zoom. She's met some of my family. My dad wrote her a letter just to say how amazing she was and what a fantastic woman she was doing. What fantastic thing she was doing for us as husbands as well. So having a sort of house, hopefully, a housewarming sort of baby shower before we go to the States to meet our little one. So Amber's going to
be guest of honour.
Guest of honour
in.
Very modern.
Amazing. It'd be like when you can't appear to accept your award, you know, like at the Emmys or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You have a big gown on and a baby bump all on show for
all. Oh, fantastic. And how has Amber kind of reacted to that? So, you know, obviously kind of meeting friends and family, I don't know, from her as a surrogate, is that something that she's enjoyed or had previously? Has she kind of really gained a bit more about you guys and stuff from her side?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely I feel like we're all partnering on this process together. And I think it's, you know, a big part of the process for us certainly has been getting to kind of meet her family and speak to her family and kind of build that relationship. And I think, you know, I don't want to speak for her, but I feel like that relationship we have where we can kind of, you know, introduce each other to families and kind of form that close connection is really important, I think, is what has made this journey so special. And because the thing is, like, it's not all plain sailing. There have been kind of some, not as far as a relationship goes, but as far as, like, you know, there's little bumps along the way kind of medically and you know, things aren't always perfect. And so it's really important that you have that strong, trusting relationship so that, you know, you can support each other going through the process. Because I don't think we quite prepared ourselves, and maybe we're a bit naive about how challenging it actually is to have this kind of this transatlantic relationship where you're kind of building a growing a baby together. It's so having that bond is so important.
And that actually is perfect segue to one of the last questions that we received and that quite a few people have actually asked. And I like how our list followers on social are quite impatient with this as well, because they're actually asking, do you think you'll have a second child? And if so, will it be via surrogacy?
We definitely will. That was when we talked about our vision of a family, that is what we are after. We want two children. So we've already done the IVF process for both of us. So we had one embryo for one of us, six for the other, which was completely out of, you know, chance. That's just how things worked out. So we have six embryos on ice. So we'll be hoping to go forward with our second child in the future, but not quite sure when.
Yeah,
we will be doing it.
This is what made me smile. It's like, guys, wait, they haven't even had their first one yet.
I know. And I think, but the reason is, I think more than they, like, so I was an only child, and you know, for various reasons, but I always really wanted a sibling, and so I'd be really keen to give that to our children, that they kind of have siblings. So that's definitely kind of a big driving force.
It's very much like the forward family planning has definitely sort of underway.
And Doug's got.
I've got four brothers and sisters, so I'm not the exact opposite. Yeah. Not that many, though. We're going to.
Use all six embryos. Let's do this. Absolute troop of a family. Oh, fantastic. And then just lastly as well, because I mean, we, you know, it's Pride Month, it's an incredibly important month, but also it's very important for like brands and also anyone across social to be, it's not just a month, it's actually a whole way of support throughout the whole year. And, you know, it's how, where our kind of support and energy should always be. But as it is Pride Month, I mean, what does that mean to you both? This is a question that we've had through a few different people, like I say, actually on Twitter, that have just wanting to know for you both, you know, during this special time in your lives, what does Pride mean to you?
Just being able to be even being in this position right now, we said, like, I never even thought I'd be able to get married, so here we are, and now we're expecting a family. So just to be, have that acceptance, and you know, and it'd be something that's, we've shared our journey as well, so that the amount of comments and things we get, that, you know, obviously there is the odd negative one, but the majority are so positive and stuff, and to be able to share that and things and show that, you know, things can be possible and how we've moved forward as well is just, it's really lovely.
And I think with Pride as well, I think what's really important is to recognise like how far things have come for a lot of people, and particularly gay people, but actually there's still a long way to go. And I think, you know, we have to really recognize our privilege as part of that, and that, you know, we are very fortunate that we're able to do this, but actually for a lot of communities, in particular the trans community, bi people of color, there's still a huge amount of discrimination that people face in the world. And also recognizing that we live in the UK, where things are a bit more progressed, but actually across the world there's still people who are being killed for being who they are. And so it's so important that we recognize that yes, things have moved along, but there's still a huge long way to go, and representation is super important as part of that, and super important to show that, you know, what is possible, but that doesn't mean that's necessarily possible at the moment for everyone. So it's kind of takes that collective effort, as you say, in Pride to kind of raise awareness, but also throughout every day, to kind of start trying to break down the barriers that people face here and globally.
Absolutely. Like I say, I mean, it's always fantastic to have a month where, you know, everyone really turns their attention. But like you say, it's an ongoing dialogue. It's not just for June. It's a conversation that needs to continue and develop and grow. And it's always, you know, I'm in a very fortunate position where I get to speak to so many different people on this podcast. And it's more as my own sort of educational journey as well, because there's so much out there in terms of, you know, just starting a family. There's so many different ways. There's adoption, you can foster, like surrogacy, like yourselves, there's IVF, there's a huge host of different ways out there. And all of those options should be available for all. There shouldn't be any exclusivity or caveats over a couple or a single person going into that journey based on who they are. I thank you both very much for coming on and sort of just taking us through your experiences. I mean, you've done an amazing blog piece where there's lots of kind of questions and detail that you guys have gone through. I think we've grilled you enough, actually. but it's a really fantastic, informative piece. And likewise, we mentioned it earlier, but we'll add in all your social channels as well, so people can really kind of jump in and share the journey with you. You've got an amazing YouTube channel where you're incredibly transparent about, you know, how you've gone about this, you've been very open about yourselves and your relationship. And it's great, because it really just, again, just casts another light on a different way of becoming parents today, you know. So thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. I can't believe the time has flown by. 30 minutes.
I know. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, both. And take care. And thanks so much. To find out more information about the topics covered in today's podcast, head to the iCandy blog page on www.icandyworld.com/blog. You can also catch up on season one, featuring thought-provoking and engaging interviews from a mix of industry leaders, experts, celebrity parents, and healthcare specialists, all via your preferred podcast provider. If you enjoyed today's episode, then don't forget to leave a review and hit like and subscribe to ensure you never miss an episode. iCandy is a proud supporter of Great Ormond Street Children's Hospital charity. Every day brings new challenges at GOSH, and this extraordinary hospital depends on charitable support to give seriously ill children the best chance to fulfil their potential. A donation from as little as £10 could pay for a genetic test that will help diagnose sick children, whilst only £50 could cover the cost of one night stay for parents in GOSH's family accommodation. Every little bit helps support both children and parents alike in making a challenging time as comfortable as possible. If you would like to make a donation, please head to discover.icandyworld.com/gosh.